God, first of all, for keeping me around so long. I take it gracefully. As we get older, you know, you just have to bear with the things that the Lord allows you to go through. But I'd like to thank Robert for asking me to bring a message on this special occasion. For you that don't know my wife sits over here to the right. She's been my wife for 51 years. It ain't easy being a pastor's wife. You know, you give a lot, you take a lot, you go through many, many challenges. And so I'd like to thank her for being with me so long. And we have two children, six grandchildren, and one great child. So God's been good for us. You know, but it's a pleasure to come back here and still see people that I've known for a long time. Like Robert said, my job took me to California. While we were here, we had we began the church a long time ago. A long time ago. It's been amazing how long it's been, you know, when you stop to think of it, 34 years. That's a long time. And, you know, and that you're still here. That's what's the glory of it. You're still here. You're still trusting in the Lord. And this is what the message is all about, you know. It's been 20 years since I've stood behind this pulpit. And I think the message that I gave them is the Lord is my shepherd. He leads me where he wants me to go. And he led me to California for 15 years. About 1995. And then from there, he led me down to Texas. And so I got tired of moving around, so I came back to Oklahoma. And so the sermon, the message that is brought to still believing. Before I get into this, I want to have a word of prayer and ask the Lord to bless his message and bless his people that hear the message. Father, we thank you for the privilege that you've given to us tonight to call upon your precious and holy name. Lord, we pray that something will be said tonight, Lord, that will change a person's life. Help them to live even a more holy life, Lord, because you called them before the foundation of the world to be like you. And we thank you for the privileges that you've given to us. We thank you for life such as it is right now. And we just ask that you would just use me tonight to your glory. Remove me, Lord, and yet you speak through the things that you have me to do. We ask this all in Jesus' name. For his sake alone, we do pray. Amen. It's so surprising to still see Matt here and Lois and some of you guys that have been here for a while. And it's just a blessing, you know, to come back home, you might say, and see people that are still trusting in the Lord. To focus on the night still believing, I want to look at three points that I want to discuss tonight. But first, I want to define still believing. The dictionary says that still is no movement, just being still. Now, I'm talking about the still that you make the alcohol with. That's also a still. But we talk about the moving still, you know, the one that stands still, you know. And I can say that by Berean. And believing carries the thought of being confident in the truth, existence of reliability of something, although you have no proof of it, without absolute proof, one is. In other words, we accept, we hold, we regard, we admit, we conclude, we trust and affirm. That's what believing is. Something we can't see, something we can't always prove proof of, but we still believe it. Just like we wasn't there when the earth was formed, were we? But we believe that it was. We have infallible proof that it was because we're here. It exists because somebody, our Lord and Savior, said that he did it. Said, in the beginning, God. And so we have to believe it, even though we're not there, we can't look at anything, any other proof, except that the things that he has given to us. We can see the stars, we can see the moon, we can see the grass. All these things are proof that he exists. Even our bodies are proof that he exists. He gives us everything. He gives us eyes to see, ears to hear, a mouth to eat. Sometimes we eat too much, but he still gives us a mouth to eat. You know, and just think, if we didn't have a thumb on us, we wouldn't be able to grab anything. We wouldn't eat as much if we didn't have a thumb. But God is still in the blessing business. Still in the blessing business. So tonight I want to point on three things. Those who are called to believe, the cost of believing, and reward for believing. Now these three things here. But as Matt read the lesson, I'd like to look at the second verse. It says, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto the obedience of sprinkling of blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. In that particular verse, there are three things that are quoted there. God the Father, the Spirit, and Jesus Christ. Now, Peter was talking to those people that were scattered in different countries. Now, that same method goes to us because the word said elect. Look at the word elect. And what do we mean by elect? Those who are chosen, those who are called. And we can see that God has called us, even in 2015, God has called us to be here. He knows everything. There's nothing that's hid from God. Nothing at all is hid from God. And so when he said the elect, who are we talking about? He's talking to us. Why? Because he chose you even before the foundation of the world. God chose you to be here tonight. He knew who was going to be here. His divine wisdom, because he knows everything. He knows everything, and he knew who was going to be here tonight. He knows everything about us. You know, we are the only human beings. We are only human. We're the only one that disobeys God. You know that? Dogs bark because they're dogs. It's in their nature. Cow move because they move. They do. We're the only ones that disobeys God. But he still loves us. He elected us. He chose us before the foundation of the world. Before he said, let there be light, he chose us. Because he's an all-knowing God. He knows the beginning from the end. You know, the smartest people that they have around here, they can only comprehend so much. But God knows everything about everybody. That just blows my mind. When he say everything about everybody. He knows what we're going to eat. He knows. Well, Psalm 119, 139 talks about that. You knew me before I was even born. Before I was even born. And he picked the time. We couldn't pick the time when we were going to be born, who our parents were going to be, where we went to school, what education we have, what IQ we have. We didn't do that. But God knew it even before the foundation of the world. He called us to believe. So today we are all saved. We're saved because we still believe. We still believe what God is saying. And so we can hold on to that fact. But if we look at that verse again, God the Father, through the sanctification of the Spirit, unto the obedience and the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. That's the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. And in the book of Genesis, it says God created. Logos. All of it. God created all of these things. Amen. He had a plan and purpose. Yes, he did. In the beginning. He probably could chose any plan that he wanted to. But he chose the one that brings salvation to us as human beings. He knew that man was going to fail. He knew that. Why? Because he knows the beginning and the end. He's Alpha and Omega. And everything in between. He knew man was going to fail. But he also knew that he had to send his son to redeem us. I don't know if you all are old enough to remember these green stamps. That was back in the day. You know, when you get these little green stamps, you know, every time you buy something, you get two or three of them, you know. Then you had to take them to redeem them. When you got full, when you got the little pages full. Jesus Christ had to redeem us. Because Adam threw us all into a chaos. He threw us into bad shape. But Jesus Christ had to redeem us. He knows the beginning and the end. And so when I think about, we were chosen. Chosen. Called out. Selected. Isn't that wonderful that he selected you? He selected you to be saved. You know, there's over 7 billion people in the world today. But he chose you. That's enough to shout on right there. You know, he chose you. You didn't have to have no vote. As to who you are, where you come from, didn't have to vote on anything. He chose you from the beginning. Before he said, let that be light. He knew you would be here tonight. He knew your heart would be pierced with his love. And he wanted to select you. Out of all the people in the world, he selected you. Amen. That's something to think about, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
If you don't think about nothing else, just think, I've been chosen. I've been selected by the Almighty God. I don't know anybody else. I mean, Obama had to get a vote to get him where his place was. But God chose us. Didn't have to vote on us anything. He decreed that we would be saved. And the thing about it, he said, all that come to me, I will cast nobody out. All that the Father gives me, I will cast none out. That's two kinds of people. Those that come to Jesus and those that won't come to Jesus. You've got a lot of people that won't come to Jesus. But those he knew who was going to be called, he selected it. So we had to walk a narrow line because all of us weren't born saved, were we? Huh? We all weren't born saved, were we? We all weren't born blessed, holy, and filled with the Holy Ghost. No, we wasn't. We all have sinned and come short of God's glory. But he loved us instead, in spite of what we were. Thank God we're not what we used to be. Amen. Praise the Lord on that. Yeah. And we're not what we're going to be either, because God is going to sanctify us through his word. We're sanctified by the word of God. We're set apart, in other words. We're set apart for his work. For his work. For his purpose. You know, our purpose would be something else, wouldn't it? You know, we have that nature that wants everything for ourselves. But God wants us to live a life that's holy and for him. He wants us to be a light in the world. So, it's good to know that we've been selected. We've been selected by God, Almighty God. Not just a little bitty G God, but an Almighty God. The one who put the stars in place, who put the galaxies where they are, all the things that he's done. And he chose us. Precious, he chose us. And so that we are. You've been selected. You've been selected to be here. You've been selected to live holy as God would want you to be that God. In truth and righteousness. He wants us to be that way. Now, Peter had to go through some things. The cost of believing. Now, I know that we all have had some suffering to do, as individuals and as a church. We all had suffering to do. I don't know anybody that goes around and asks for diabetes, cancer, any other thing. But if God chose you to go through this, we need to go through it gracefully. Why? Because God is sovereign. He allows people to go, certain people to go through certain things for His glory. For His glory. Not for our glory. Not to say, hey, look what I've got. Look what I'm proud of. No, no, we don't do that. We ask if we can get rid of it. We don't ask for sicknesses. We don't ask for poverty. We don't ask for the things that soreness, arthritis. We don't ask for these things. But God allows us to go through it. But you know, if we live here on this earth 60, 70, 80 years, that's nothing compared to eternity.
That's all right.
You know, nothing compared to eternity. And that's what we're looking for. We have an inheritance. You know what an inheritance is? An inheritance is something that you inherit when somebody dies. As long as they're living, you can't get it. But as soon as they die, you have an inheritance. And that's what we have here. And the scripture says we have an inheritance.
Yes.
That fadeth not away. Can't nobody take it from us. It won't spoil. It won't spoil at all. Nobody can take it from us. Why? Because God has kept it with His power. His power. Not our power, but His power. He keeps it for us. Eternal in heaven. You know, we go through things, you know, we buy things, you know, and we don't use them for a while, and all of a sudden it gets rusty or it gets moldy, you know, and you almost have to throw it away. But the inheritance that we get from God, it won't rust. It won't fade away. Can't nobody take it from us. Why? Because God in His power keeps it for us. He keeps it. Just like the stars. He keeps the stars in place. He keeps the moon in place. Sitting up there on nothing, but they're in place. In place. You know, I'm one of these moon watchers. Every time the moon changes, I'm out there gazing at it. I can't understand why, how it just sits out there all by itself. Nothing holding it up but God's power. Because God decreed that it stand up there like that. Same way about the sun. It don't burn up. It just stays there. Because God decreed that it would be there. And when God decrees something to be there, it's going to be there. It's going to be there. You know, we have changes in the weather. We have changes in a whole bunch of things. But we can count on God. We can change our mind, can't we? Some of you change your mind tonight. That's all right. That's all right. We can change our mind. God didn't make no robots. So He gives us a choice to do things that we want to do, that we would like to do, that He can be glorified in us doing. And so, Peter. Poor Peter. I don't know if I could trust Peter at the beginning. But Peter had to go through some things. He had to go through some things. I think that's what made him so bold after Pentecost. He knew what was going to happen to him. He knew that his neck was going to be cut. I mean, he was going to have to get on the cross because he had asked for it. He knew that it was coming. But yet he still brought the message that God wanted him to bring. And just like individuals, us as individuals, we go through some things. Even churches go through some things. This church here had gone through many things. I recall our first assembly. I think it was over there on Pine, wasn't it? We had a barrier church because they had it in the morning. We had to have it in the evening. That was our first church that we had. Then we moved. I don't know if we moved to the bookstore next, or we went to the theater. Went to the bookstore? Went to the movie theater. That on Peoria. That on Peoria. We painted, trying to get everything all squared away, you know, so we can have church. Yet, we were still believing. Still believing that God is going to work this thing out. And when we left the theater, where did we go? Went to the bookstore. Went to the bookstore. And we stayed there for a while. Well, at the bookstore, I think we established a nursing home ministry. My wife was an activity director there at the nursing home, the Mohawk. She got me preaching on Sundays and Matt teaching on Saturdays. Matt and Alice was teaching Sunday school on Saturday. Right, Matt? Every Saturday, they go down and teach.
Amen.
Still believing.
Amen.
Trusting in God.
Amen.
Trusting in God for the things that he's going to bring. And who knows what we were going to come together again.
Amen.
Only God knew that.
Amen.
I had no idea I'd be standing up here behind this pulpit again.
Amen.
But God willed it so.
Amen.
God willed it so. Amen. So the church has had its ups and downs. Had it in and out. We had people leave, people come in. But we didn't have a pastor for a while. But God's purpose was to Marin to stay put. Not move. Being still. Still believing. Still trusting in God. Because he's able to do what? Exceedingly abundant. But for all that we ask or think, according to the staying power that we have and the believing power, if we continue to believe in him, he's going to move this church.
Amen.
He's going to move this church.
Amen.
And this is what his purpose for this. And so we see that God is still in his power.
Amen.
Now, we're going to talk about a little bit about the rewards for believing. Ren, you have greatly rejoiced in doing the trial that we've gone through. And each individual here has gone through some trials. But you're still trusting in the Lord. We've had loved ones that pass on. We've had people that leave here. We've had things that come in our life that we had no control of. No control of. But we still believe. Still trusting in God. Still believing. And the thing about it, he said that your faith is more precious than gold. More precious than gold. It perishes not away. So, when we think about gold being tried by fire, in Corinthians it talks about the works that we do. Wood, stubble, hay, gold, silver, and precious stones. All going to be tried by fire. Now, you know what fire does to wood. Stubble. And hey, it's going to burn up. It's going to go poof. It's gone. Just like that. But the gold and the silver and the precious stones, the work that we do when Christ gets into our life, we become completely humble, become kind, gentle, patient. That's one we had to work on, ain't it? We live in a microwave society. He wants everything quick. But the Lord wants us to have patience. Bearing one another in love. Put up with somebody else. Even though you don't like the way they dress or what they look like, bearing one another. It's love. Love is the key. Love is the key. Love covers a multitude of sins. You know, and the scripture says we all have sin.
Yes,
so love covers this. And so it behooves us to love. Love God. But the rewards that we're going to get are more precious than gold. The faith that we have in Jesus Christ and him coming back. We're waiting for him to come back. You know, we look around in our society, we see all the things just blowing apart. Can't wait to get to heaven. Can't wait to. Matter of fact, we ought to get a busload and go right now. No, but the Lord ain't through with us yet, so we got to stay here and endure. We have to stay here and endure. We all have an expiration date, so our expiration date ain't here yet. So we just have to wait on the Lord. I told some Brother Wago, I said, better to be seen than viewed. So we're still here on this side of the dirt. So God still has something that he wants us to do. He still wants to use us. We want to glorify him in everything we do. Everything we do, we need to glorify God. Our life should be that we can glorify God even in the midst of pain, even in the midst of struggles. Because God said in his word, I will never leave you or forsake you. And so what God does to us, he does it for our benefit. He does it for our benefit. He doesn't need us, but we need him. We need him on a daily basis. That should be the first thing that comes out of my mouth every morning. Lord, I thank you for giving me another day. And whatever the circumstances are, you're going to give me the grace to go through it. Because you're able to do these things. And we have to look at things like that. We can't get down because ISIS is doing his thing, or whether the president is not doing his thing, or whether the Republicans or Democrats are not doing their thing. We have a Savior that is on top of all of this stuff. He is sovereign. He allows these things to take place. So what if we don't get the benefits here on earth? Oh, we got them stored up in heaven. Oh, we got them stored up in heaven. That's the glory of it. That he has kept them for us by his power. He has kept them for us. Nobody can steal them. Nobody can ruin them. Because God is keeping them with his power. That's what we have to look forward to. So we can praise and honor God at all times. His full glory. Unspeakable glory. Unspeakable glory. That's what we look for. The unspeakable glory. And we have to look to the Lord. Look to the Lord. Our help, strength, such as it is, everything we have, he's given it to us. He's given it to us. Even our names. We think mama named us, daddy named us, or grandpa named us. No. God told me to name you that. And so we thank God for that. And I would say for Marin, keep standing, keep hoping, keep believing for that blessed day when the Lord takes us out. God bless you. That's my message for you today. Hope something has been said that will inspire you to continue to look to the Lord, the author and finisher of our faith.